So I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast again. I'm Ricky Scaprell, the founder of End Time Headlines and the pastor of Remnant Revival Ministries. You say Remnant what? If this is your first time hearing this news, we want to relay this. Get used to this. In fact, write the name of this ministry down, Remnant Revival Ministries. We're on Facebook now. We have reverted our YouTube channel over to Remnant Revival Ministries. And the reason why that is because the Remnant Revival Ministries is going to be the voice of our ministry, whereas ETH is going to be the information center. So all your news and headlines from a prophetic perspective is still going to be on ETH. But the voice, the heartbeat of the ministry is going to be at Remnant Revival Ministry. So if you've not yet followed us, like this, subscribe to notifications, please do that on Remnant Revival Ministries. Now, we have a website. It's in the process of being created. When that comes forth, we'll let you know. It's going to be remnantrevival.org or remnantrevival.com. So I'm excited about this. We will keep you up to date on this. We're doing the graphics. We're doing the logos. We're doing all the intros for the videos. Everything's being prepared behind the scenes, and I'm excited about releasing this, and this is the direction we're going to go. Now, having said that, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. Again, if you're just joining us, please let me know that you're new. If you're new to the broadcast, new to the ministry, type in "I'm new" or put a little hand emoticon waving that we know that you're new. Jessica's in here, our admin. She'll go in and she'll welcome you. I myself will go back and welcome you if she missed you by chance. Sometimes we don't catch you in the first shoot of the broadcast. So again, we welcome you to the broadcast. We welcome you to the ministry. Now, without further ado, let's get into this thing, guys. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is going to be our foundation today. This message was actually inspired to me yesterday. I was in church myself, and this verse got brought up, but I'm going in a different direction in which it was ministered, in a whole different direction, because many times as ministers, we get a word from a word. It's almost like prophetic layers. So I want to preach on the rise of new carts and strange fire, the rise of new carts and strange fire. And long before Israel became a kingdom, the Philistines defeated Israel in battle and abducted the Ark of the Covenant. They took it captive. And as a result of that, disease broke out. And it got so bad that the Philistines sent it back, and it arrived first in Beth Shemesh and then in another location, where it remained for 20 years in the care in the home of Abinadab and his son Eleazar. So again, the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the glory of God, was taken captive, and for 20 years, and was in the care of Abinadab. Sorry, I always get tongue-tied on that. And his son Eleazar. Now that we fast forward and we go to 2 chance. So as a result of this, David sends an army of men to come and get the ark and gain captive of it again, to regain it. Come on, to regain the glory back, to capture the glory back, to get the presence back. So here it is, 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is very interesting where we're going with this. And David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up there the ark of God, whose name is called the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they, now listen to this. Here's where things begin to derail. So they set the ark of God on a new cart. Somebody said they set it on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which, by the way, his name means "my father is willing," which was on the hill. Somebody say it was on a hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. It's interesting. They drove the cart that housed the presence of God, or the ark of God, which represented the presence of God. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. So Ahio went before the ark, and then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines and sistrums and cymbals. This was, if you go back and you can read this in the Old Testament, this is the process in which they did. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper here. Now watch this. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen had stumbled. In other words, the oxen that was pushing the cart, which the ark was on, stumbled. The ark began to tumble, and Uzzah reached out, come on, and tried to take hold of the ark. And the Bible says, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. Father, I thank you for this word that you've given me in my heart to share with the people. I pray that you would anoint this word. I pray that, Lord, this word would go forth. Lord, that it would equip, it would edify, it would pierce the hearts of the people. It would bring relevance to them and to and to the urgency of where we're at in this hour as the body of Christ and the church. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the seed that's being sown, and I pray that it would not return void, but it would establish that which is sent forth to do it. I bind every distraction that the enemy would try to bring to turn our attention away from the word today, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Come on, and all God's people said amen and amen. Let me tell you some stuff here, guys. First of all, it's interesting that this situation took place. It says it was on a hill, and it took place at a threshing floor. See, it's interesting because something else took place on a hill at Calvary called Golgotha. And it was on a hill where our Lord Jesus Christ, come on, went through a threshing floor. By the way, the word threshing means to tramp or to stamp heavily with the feet. In biblical days, there was no machinery. So after the harvest, I've got to say that again. There was no machinery. There was no substitute. That's going to be deep when we get into this message, when we get into the deeper aspects of this. In those days, the grain was separated from the straw and husked by beating it manually. First, there had to be a flat surface in which was smooth and hard, and this was known as the threshing floor. The process of threshing was performed generally by spreading sheaves on the threshing floor and causing the oxen and the cattle to tread repeatedly over them. Their weight and their heaviness loosened the edible part of cereal grain, or the crop rather, from the scaly chaff that surrounded it. You can find this in Deuteronomy 25:4, Isaiah 28:28. It's mentioned in Ruth 2:17 and Isaiah 28:27. The wheat brought through the threshing floor to separate the, come on, when the grain was brought through the threshing floor, it separated the wheat from the chaff. They would take winnowing forks, pierce it with winnowing forks, and throw it into the air where the wind would separate the wheat from the chaff. Come on, you can find John the Baptist talks about this. He says, when he talks about Jesus, he said, he who comes after me, come on, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to thresh, come on, the floor. We got this picture of this sweet little Jesus that never gets angry. He never gets frustrated. He's just a sweet little Jesus that always just preaches love and everything else. But John says he's going to be a man of fiery eyes. He's going to be a man of conviction. He's going to be a man that preaches repentance. He's going to have a winnowing fork in his hand. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. You read it in your Bible. He says that the chaff are going to be thrown into the fire where they'll be consumed, and the wheat shall be stored into the barn. Okay, so it's interesting that something happened. And by the way, the word Perez Uzzah, where this situation took place on a hill, the word Perez Uzzah actually derives from the breach. It actually means in Hebrew, the breach of Uzzah. So there was a breach in order. There was a breach in structure. There was a breach in the glory of God that day, and it was marked forever. It was recorded in the Word of God in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I believe it's a message to us. It's a warning to another generation. Let me explain. See, God had given Moses and Aaron specific instructions about the tent of meeting and the transportation or the transport of the Ark of the Covenant. There had to be specifics. There had to be order. There had to be structure. There had to be holy reverence. Are you listening to me? There was a group of individuals called the Kohathites, which were to come, and they were specifically called with the instructions to carry the Ark, but they were not permitted to touch the holy things or they would die. Oh, goodness. See, I know where I'm going with this, so you just got to bear with me. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. Numbers 4:15. The touching of the ark was in direct violation of God's law and was to result in death. This was a means of preserving, oh, you listen to me, the very sense or the reverence of God's holiness and the drawing near unto him without appropriate preparation. In other words, you can't just come into God's presence and come and touch of the glory of God any way you choose. Come on. The Bible says, who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord and who can stand into his presence? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his idol. Come on, somebody. Who has not bowed down to other gods. But watch this. This is the heaviest part right here. The Ark of the Covenant, which represents the glory of God. Because God's glory resided in the Ark. The presence of God. The Ark was never intended to be placed upon a cart. Are you listening to me? The Ark was never intended to be placed upon a cart. It was intended to be placed upon, bore upon, and carried upon the shoulders of men and carried by the Levites. Goodness. And you say, what is your point, brother? Get to the point, preacher. Where are you going with this? Okay, let me give it to you like I got this morning when I was putting this message together. Our modern Christianity has tried to repackage the glory of God, and we've tried to put it on a new cart with a new look and a new face. Let me say that again. Modern Christianity today, we try to repackage the glory of God, and we've tried to put it on our own carts. And by the way, we create our own cart. We manufacture our own cart. And every 10 years, the cart gets old. The wheels start wearing off the cart. It starts losing its paint. It starts losing its glamour. It starts losing its ability to draw the people, its ability to be a spectrum to people. And because of this, we begin to come on behind the scenes in some kind of a board meeting, some kind of a, 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 a strategy meeting, whatever the case may be, we tried to come up with a new strategy on how we can create a new cart. Come on, the old cart worked for a season, but come on, people are not coming back anymore. We're starting to lose numbers. We're starting to lose money. We're not the biggest church in town. We're not the most influential church in town. So we've got to get some new wheels. We got to get some new paint. We got to get some new glamour. We've got to get some new bells and whistles. We got to come up with a new cart. So the old cart, come on, becomes irrelevant, so we have to create a new cart. Listen to this. We want the ark for the purpose of attracting everything but God. Let me say this again. We want the presence. Come on, the ark represents the presence. We want the anointing. We want the presence. We want the glory, but we want it for the purpose of attracting everything but God. See, we want the glory, we want the presence, so we can, come on, so we can have the biggest numbers, we can have the biggest church, we can have the best programs, we can be the biggest, the best, the beautiful, the most elegant, the most profound, have the biggest social media, the biggest following, the biggest platform. But it was never intended for that. Listen to this. We have replaced the holy articles of the ark with substitutions of the flesh, expecting the same results. Golly, we don't want to bear the responsibility and labor of having to do what it takes to produce revival. Golly, we don't want to intercede. We don't want to spend hours in the secret place. We don't want to call corporate prayer gatherings. We don't want to call a corporate time of prayer and fasting. We don't want to seek the face of the Lord, because that would be work. That means we would have to bear some of the workload on our shoulders. Come on, we don't want a work horse. We want a show horse. We don't want to bear the responsibility and labor of doing this. So come on. We don't have to bear the ark on the shoulders of people. We can just put it on a cart where it'll become easy, and we can transfer it. It can be easily accessible. We can just wheel it around wherever we go. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that when you study out revival just didn't follow anywhere, come on, where it was at. There were specific things that took place to produce revival. You studied out in your everywhere that men became desperate, they began to intercede, they began to cry out, they began to pray, they began to seek the face of God. That's where the ark showed up. That's where the glory resided. Come on, it wasn't a fancy cart put on wheels and we could just pull it around the nation and we could take the glory everywhere we want. I've heard people say that, well, we can carry the glory everywhere we go. That's not necessarily true, guys, because here's the thing about a cloud. See, a cloud, you know, in the book of, when you go to the book of Kings, Elijah began to come into a fetal position. He began to pray. He began to intercede. He began to seek the face of God. And as a result of what was going on earth, it produced heaven to open up. So in other words, nothing ever came down from heaven until something began to rise up from earth. And because a result of that, a cloud the size of a man's fist began to manifest, and rain began to shower. Rain began to pour. Where did the rain come? It came where there was intercession. It came where there was prayer. It came where there was labor in the spirit. It came where people, come on, began to carry the work of the labor. Well, I believe in a gospel not of works. We're not talking about that kind of works here, friend. So don't get tied up with terminologies and semantics with words here, friend. We're talking about, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you carry that mentality of I don't have to do anything, bless his holy name, I can just sit on the couch, eat potato chips, make some hot wings, watch the Super Bowl. Listen, I'm not against the Super Bowl. I watched the Super Bowl myself. I'm not against all that. There's a time. It's okay to play, and it's okay to have fun. It's okay to socialize. It's okay to have gatherings and fellowship and eat and do all these things. But friends, there comes a time when if we want to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we want to see a move of God, we want to see revival, we want to see our families turned upside down, our church turned upside down, our community turned upside down, it's going to take some work on our behalf. God is willing to work with us But he's not going to allow himself, his glory, his presence to be reduced to a circus sideshow for show and tell so that you can get followers and that you can get, come on, a platform and you can get recognition and you can, come on, do all these things. Come on, somebody. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men into me. You ever heard of the phrase, you put the cart before the horse? Come on. What's this? I'm going to read it. We want this cart packaged, programmed, and predictable, the three P's. We want it packaged, programmed, and predictable. And we wheel this thing around until, the wheels fall off, and then we'll build a new, fresh, and relevant cart for whatever is popular for the modern culture at that time. In other words, the wheels rotate with the winds of culture. Golly, but it was never, come on, the presence of God was never intended to be swayed by the winds of culture, but it was, come on, it was, but it intended to sway the winds of culture. Let me say that again. The glory and the presence of God was never intended to be swayed by the winds of culture, but it was intended to sway the winds of culture. Come on, anywhere his glory showed up, anywhere his presence showed up, it changes the atmosphere, it changes people, and it changes culture. But again, guys, the modern church, instead of paying the price of bearing the ark on the shoulders, we want to build a fancy cart, and we want to have nice wheels, and we want to have bells and whistles. Again, we want it to be packaged, programmed, and predictable. As a result of this, resulted in a powerless encounter. Come look at the ark. People will come. Oh man, you gotta see this. You've got to see what they've created. So people will come. Oh yeah, it'll draw people. They'll flock. They'll come. They'll gather around. But guys, listen. But what is happening as a result of them gathering? Are they being transformed? Are they being, come on, are they being changed by the glory of God? Are they being healed? Are they being delivered? Are they being set free? Are they being equipped? Are they being discipled? Are they coming out? Are they leaving the same way they came in? Now watch this. As a result of this, we've created museums filled with people to come look at the cart and the box, but not experience the glory that's in the box. Come on, somebody, you got to let him out of the box. If we want to see his glory return in the earth, we have got to get the ark off the cart and put it back on our shoulders. Now, I'm going to say something here that's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. See, when I talked about package, programmed, and predictable, we've created services that are restrained by time. Now, I get this, guys. Even I many times will say, I've got to hurry up because I've only got so much time. But I'm going to tell you, friends, I can tell you by personal experience, every experience I've ever had with the true glory and presence of God to the point where I am changed and messed up and never the same. Guys, I can tell you one thing. I was not looking at my watch. I was not looking at a clock. And I was not mindful of the time at all. I'm telling you, when it was a man of God was behind a pulpit and he began to slow things down and told the people, let's wait on God and we're going to wait on his presence. We're going to wait on his glory. That, my friends, is what gave the invitation for the ark to come in. And it was not programmed, it was not packaged, and it was not predictable. And I'm telling you, the glory of God showed up and people were transformed. People experienced the fire of God and true revival. Now watch this. Let me move on here. Uzzah, here's the thing. Uzzah reached out to hold up the glory of God. He felt it was his, oh my gosh, this is so powerful. He felt that it was his responsibility to save the integrity of God. Oh, listen, I've got news for you, friend. It's not your responsibility to hold up the glory of God. It's our responsibility to steward the glory of God. And listen, if we will just give God permission, just put a welcome mat in front of our door of our church and a sign that says, come on in, Jesus, because you remember the book of Revelation, it says that Jesus was knocking at one of the doors of the church, and it says he stood out and knocked, and he said, if any man hears, let him open the door. Come on, if we just put a door with no lock, an open door policy where the Holy Spirit can just come in and have his way, then friends, we wouldn't have to worry about, come on, the ark and the cart being wrecked. And again, notice it was wrecked at a threshing floor. Golly, because see, you know what the threshing floor represents, guys? It represents sanctification. It represents the power of God that has the ability to change and transform your life. I know many churches don't give the ability. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to let alone come into the place, let alone preach or teach any kind of message that would separate the wheat from the chaff. But I'm telling you guys, if we would just allow, see, here's what happened. When they begin to step out of doing things the way God had structured it and ordered it, and try to put things in their own hands and do things in their own power by their own programs, their own structures, this is what Uzzah did. It began to stumble, and he reached out and tried to uphold it with his own hand, and he was stricken dead. Because if he would have done it the way it was supposed to be done, he would have never, come on, there would have never had this to begin with. Are you hearing me? So watch this. I want to give you another aspect of this. Golly, there's so many layers on this. So number one, let's review this, or let's go over this real quick. Let's recap this. Number one, we have tried to create carts. We've tried to create something that God never intended us to create, to house and to produce something that God didn't need our help to do. He already had it ordered. He already had it structured. Come on. And so there's lessons to be learned in here. But let me take you to another level. I believe another problem that happened here, watch this. You got it. Let's go back up here and let's give you a little bit of a history on this. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant had stayed at Abinadab's house for 20 years. So as a result of this, I believe him and his family, watch this, became accustomed to the glory and to the presence of God. After all, it was there for 20 years. So they became accustomed to the glory. They become accustomed to the presence. They become accustomed to the blessing. They become accustomed to walking in divine healing and divine health and divine prosperity. Why? Because they were in direct presence of the glory and the presence of God. But see, there's an old saying that says that familiarity breeds contempt. Have you ever heard of that? Familiarity breeds contempt. See, what was holy and sacred became normal and regular. Let me say that again. What was once deemed sacred and holy and reverent became familiar, became normal, became regular. See, we fail to recognize, come on, when we experience the holiness of God, we experience the glory of God, we experience the presence of God. Come on, y'all remember, have you been serving the Lord too long to remember when you first encountered the glory, when you first encountered his presence, how you used to weep, your eyes stayed wet in his presence. The tears would flow during worship. Your heart would be open to his presence. You'd be excited about hearing his word. You'd be excited about learning and hearing new things of God. But then over time, you took advantage. You began to take granted. You took for granted the presence. You took for granted the blessing. You took for granted the glory of God, and it became normal. It became regular, and it was nothing. It was not extraordinary anymore. We begin to lose the wonder of God. We begin to lose the reverence of God. We begin to lose the fear of God. Come on, are you hearing me? See, I believe if you go over to the book of Matthew, go over here to Matthew 26, I believe this is what happened in the story. Come on, of when the woman comes in, the Bible talks about this in Luke 7 and Matthew 26. Let me just read this. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it upon the head of Jesus as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why waste this? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, listen to this, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me, for you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have with me, you do not have with you always." Oh, let me say that again. He said, "But me you do not have always." And I just felt led by, man, I just felt a check in my spirit for somebody. Somebody's watching this right now. And you go to a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, devil-stomping, glorious church. I'm talking about the presence of God is showing up. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting set free. But there may be somewhere else across the street, down the road, down the community, whatever, and they tickle your ears a little bit more. They have better programs. It's packaged. Oh, come on. It's packaged a little bit better. It's got shinier wheels on it. It's got a beautiful cart. And you're feeling led. You're feeling drawn to leave. Come on. Where the Spirit of God is moving. They may not have a beautiful cart with all the bells and whistles, but people are being transformed. People are being healed. People are being saved. People are being delivered. But you're being drawn over here by what's shiny and what's new and what's reverent, or not reverent, but what's relevant and what's the new thing. But I'm going to tell you, if you're in a house of God where the real Spirit of God's in, where the real power's in, where the real anointing is, and where the real glory is, you, my friend, you better cherish that, because I've been to many churches around, at least in the southern parts of the United States, and guys, they are not normal. It is very rare to find a church that operates in the full counsel of God where the Spirit of God had moved. And listen what Jesus said. He said, listen, I'm not going to be with you always, guys. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. And surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. Now, the gospel of Luke tells the same story, but a different angle. And I got to read this to bring out the big picture, what I'm showing you here. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, now this was after she poured out the oil. "Do you see this woman?" pointing to the woman. Listen to this. "I entered your house," Jesus speaking to Peter. "I entered your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair on her head. You didn't give me a kiss, but this woman has not ceased from kissing my feet since the time I came in the house. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman anointed my feet with fragrant oil." My God, I got a whole other message out of this. I might have to preach sometimes this week or next week. "Therefore, I say to you," listen to this, "her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." See, golly, the Lord was with Peter. Could you imagine this? Jesus was in the house. And Peter became so, it became such a common thing. It became so normal. He became so accustomed to the presence of Jesus that he began to lose the wonder of the Lord. Come on, somebody. He began to lose. I feel the Holy Ghost all the way from my head to my feet. He began to lose the wonder, the awe, the reverence, the fear of God. He began to lose this because it became normal. It's no thing. It became general to him. But to a woman that was, my Lord, that was not, come on, she didn't fit the part. She didn't look the part. She didn't have all of her I's dotted or T's crossed. Come on, she had a lot of things messed up in her life. She had dysfunction. Come on, she wasn't on the staff. She wasn't on the worship team. She wasn't part of the church. She wasn't a part of the disciples. She came in and she recognized, come on, the glory. She recognized the presence. She recognized the Lord Jesus Christ, and she didn't spare anything. She poured it all on him, and as a result, it became a memorial to every generation. And here we are, fast forward 2019, and this preacher's still talking about this woman to this day, fulfilling what Jesus is and was talking about. So I'm trying to tell you, friends, one of the problems that we have today is not only are we trying to manufacture a cart and make it easy for us to experience revival, experience the move of God, experience the glory of God, but we've also made the presence and the glory of God a common thing. And as a result of that, we don't even recognize when a move of God is taking place. Man, brother, did you hear that? 10 people got saved. Yeah, whatever. Well, it may not be a big deal to you, but all of heaven and even the angels of God rejoice over one sinner that gives his heart to Jesus. Come on. Have you lost the wonder of God? Do you cry and do you tear up when salvation comes to people who didn't even deserve to be saved, and people that had no hope, and they come into the house of God and they get delivered, they get set free, and they give their hearts to Jesus? Or has it become a common thing to you? Do you weep when you see repentance begin to cry out from people and they run to the altar without ever an altar call given? Or is there even an altar call anymore? How many churches don't even do that anymore today? Have we lost the fear of the wonder of God? Because after all, the altar is bloody. It's the threshing floor. It's where things are pressed. It's where there's separation from the flesh and the spirit, from the wheat, from the chaff, from the goat, and from the sheep. That's the altar. It's bloody. That we don't want that, preacher. We don't want something bloody. We don't want something that's going to scare people away. So we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of the cross, get rid of the altar, get rid of repentance, get rid of the threshing floor, get rid of all these things, and just bring in the cart. Bring in what's beautiful and what's popular and what's easy and what's, come on, and what can be easy to replicate. Listen, my goodness. So not only do we have the danger of creating new carts in this hour, but I'm seeing a lot of strange fire. Let's go to, look, you say, what are you talking about, strange fire? Leviticus chapter 10. There was two men, and you can read about this, Leviticus 10. They were the sons of Aaron. They took a censer and put fire on it one day and put incense on it. And your Bible says that they went before the Lord and offered. Now, the King James says strange fire. Then this word strange here is interesting because it means profane or unauthorized. So it does no harm to the scripture when I say that the sons of Aaron offered strange, profane, and unauthorized fire before the Lord. As a result of this fire, come on, these boys brought some false fire or strange fire, and the Lord showed up and brought the authentic fire. Because your Bible says in Leviticus 10:2, the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. And according to Leviticus 19:12, it appears, because questions have, and this has become a theological debate, what exactly was strange fire? Now, you could talk to 10 different people that study the Word of God, and you'll probably get two major opinions. I'm going to talk about that. This was either, it comes down to either one of two things. It was either they made their own fire. They conjured up their own incense. They used their own ingredients, come on, for the incense and to offer up strange fire, and not based on what was commanded to them. There's a whole message in itself right there. Or it could be possible that the sons of Aaron actually came before the presence of God and were intoxicated. Come on. Or again, they were inebriated or intoxicated before the presence of the Lord, which was a violation. And as a result, it was not pleasing to the Lord. I'm trying to tell you, friends, look around. When I look across the spectrum today, I'm seeing a lot of strange fire be offered to the Lord. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Listen, I've seen, you can do your own research on this. I'm not going to name names, so don't get me to name names. But you've got preachers out there that make mockeries. They make a mockery of the Holy Ghost. They've come up with terms like token the ghost, and they act like they're smoking a joint, and they call the Holy Ghost smoking or token the ghost. One preacher calls himself the Holy Ghost bartender. We've got people rolling around the floor barking like dogs. I said barking like dogs and howling like wolves in the name of the Lord. Strange fire before the Lord. And Paul warned about this in 2 Corinthians 11:4. He says, if any man comes to you and preaches another Jesus, come on, a strange Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, or if you received a different gospel. So again, the strange fire, guys, was not just in the time of Leviticus, but we're in the New Testament. You say, well, brother, how come God's not smoting people dead? How come the fire of God's not coming down and smoting people dead? How come it's not like Uzzah and they're not being smoten? Because here's where you better be thankful. See, you know, guys, listen, you've heard me preach against hyper grace, but thank God for grace. Because here it is, you ready? Mercy and grace is the reason why we're not seeing the Ananias and Sapphira's dropping dead. We're not seeing the Uzzah's dropping dead. We're not seeing the sons of Aaron dropping dead. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people lying to the Holy Spirit in the presence of the apostles and in presence of the church and presence of the Holy Spirit. You've got a lot of people that are trying to manufacture carts in replace of what it takes. Come on, to bring true revival, to bring a true glory of God. You've got a lot of people trying to help God out, manufacture things. You've got a lot of people offering strange fire before the Lord, making a mockery and blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But yet these people are still behind pulpits. Their churches are still flocking. People are still pulling in. It's called, again, mercy and grace. If you want a deeper theological term, it's we as a church age are under the dispensation of grace. And you better be thankful that we are, because if we were not, friends, I've heard people say all the time, I'll tell you what, brother, I wish we could go back to the time of the book of Acts. No, you don't. Because if we went back to the time of the book of Acts, friends, I'm going to tell you, you want to talk about the separation of the wheat from the chaff. I'm telling you, oh my goodness, I'm going to get myself in trouble. But there'd be a lot of people showing up missing the church. There'd be a lot of ministries being shut down. There'd be a lot of churches closing their doors. Come on, somebody. There'd be a lot of wheat separating from the chaff and goats separating from the sheep. Okay? Now you say, well, I thought the Lord's going to do that. Oh, he is. You can read about it in the New Testament. I believe it's over there in Matthew 25 talks about this. He talks about the separation that's coming. The Holy Spirit does it today. He's still separating the chaff from the wheat and the sheep from the goats. But it's not on the level that we saw in the Old Testament, and it's not on a level that we saw in the early church of the days of the apostles and the writing of the book of Acts. Because again, we're under the dispensation of grace and mercy, and you better be thankful for that. I better be thankful for that, guys. Because listen, I'm not perfect, and I know I've messed up. I guarantee there's times when I've messed up, and I'm like Uzzah. I know I preached a little bit hard today, but let me give you a little bit of a grace here. Let me finish this with a little bit of a grace. Okay, thank God we are under that, because I know there's times when I've done things that I've gotten into the flesh, and I try to reach out with my hand and try to save something that's fallen because of my own mess. And I could have been struck into, I could have been the Uzzah. You could have been the Uzzah. You could have been the sons of Aaron. You could have been Ananias and Sapphira. But thank you, Lord Jesus, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And here's where I want to close with this, guys. This is what I want to tell you. This is what I want to tell you here. This is what I want to leave you with. This is what I want to leave you with. Lord, and I just feel led to pray. I was going to say something, but I feel like we're supposed to pray. Come on, just agree with me and pray. I don't know how this is going to go. I'm just going to be praying by how the Spirit leads me. Father, Lord, we recognize and we see by this pattern here in the Old Testament and patterns in the New Testament, God, that, Lord, I believe there's a hungry remnant of people that are watching this broadcast today or tonight or live or the rebroadcast, whatever the case may be. Lord, they may be a church of 100. They may be a church of 12. Or they may be an army of one. It's just them and the Holy Spirit watching this. And Lord, they are done with the counterfeit. They're done with the hokey pokey. They're done with the false fire. They're done with the other Jesus, the other spirit, the other gospel. They want the real. They want the authentic. They want the real glory. They want the real presence. And they are not happy and content with the cart and with the shiny wheels and with the bells and the whistles and the programs and the packages and all these things, but they want the real glory. They're like Moses, and they're crying out saying, show me your glory. And Lord, I believe that there is a real heaviness. There's a real weightiness of your Spirit that's coming upon people right now, because you're revealing unto us the price that has to be paid on a personal level to experience the glory of God. Not everybody's going to be willing to pay it. Not everybody is there now. But God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy that is getting us to the position to that place, Lord, where we can die to ourselves, where we can live more unto you, that, Lord, we would not be afraid to put the ark on our shoulders. God, if you're calling us to pray more, Lord, let us put that upon our shoulders. Lord, if you're calling us to intercession, put it on our shoulders, God. Lord, if you're calling us to walk away from this or walk away from that or separate from this or separate from that or separate from these people or that person or whatever the case would be, if it's costing us to do this, to be able to see the glory, that we can house the glory, then God, help us to put it on our shoulders. Lord, if it's revival in our church, let us put it on our shoulders. If it's a revival in our home, revival in our marriage, a revival in our children, God, help me bear the load upon my shoulders. For here it is, God, you said in your word, thank you, Lord. You said to come unto me all who are heavy laden and weary. Come who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon me. Take my yoke upon you, for it is not burdensome. It is not heavy. Lord, anytime, and I know this from experience, God, anytime I step out of what you called me to do, what the grace of God is on my life to accomplish and fulfill and what you've called me to do, anytime I step out of that and begin to try to do this in my own flesh, I become like Uzzah. Things become rocky, things become shaky, I begin to stumble, and then things begin to topple, things begin to fall, and I'll begin to reach out in my own strength to try to straighten things out, and it causes the whole thing to be a mess. It causes the whole thing, it causes a breach, in my purpose, in my destiny, in what you've called me to do. So Father, I'm asking for, I've never prayed like this, Lord, but I'm asking for just a release of grace and mercy to come upon your people, Lord, that you would empower them, Lord, to be able to bear the load of the glory, to get them to the next level, to get them to the next purpose. There's some of you that you've been watching, you've been praying, you've been interceding, you've been believing, you've been fasting, you've been contending for personal and corporate revival. And friends, some preacher has come along and try to convince you that if you can make your cart bigger and better and brighter and more shinier, then that's what's going to produce revival. Friends, I've come by as the old school preacher, and I'm going to tell you, every book I've got on this shelf of every reformer that's ever come along, every revivalist that's ever come along, those that are still living and those that have gone on to be with the Lord, every common thread in their ministry, you read it, whether it be Ravenhill, whether it be Moody, whether it be Wigglesworth, whether it be Finney, whether it be Spurgeon, whoever it was, friends, I'm going to tell you something. They bore the ark upon their shoulders. They travailed in prayer. They prayed the price. They interceded. They cried out. They were committed to the cause, and it cost them something. But friends, as a result of what they laid down, when they begin to release a sound from their spirit and from their mouth from earth, there was a sound that was released from heaven. Come on. The cloud showed up. Whether it showed up in England, whether it showed up, come on, in America, whether it showed up overseas, whatever, it showed up. It may have not lasted forever, but for a season, that cloud, come on, showed up. The rain fell, and I'm telling you, communities were turned upside down. Preachers were turned upside down. Families were turned upside down. Cities were turned upside down. Bars were closed. Clubs were shut down. Factories were shut down. Illegal drugs drug lords and drug sales and all these things, they were shut down. Why? Because the real, true glory of God showed up, and it cost them everything, and they had to pay the price. Guys, listen, I'm not there yet. I recognize it by the Holy Ghost. When I did this message and put it together, I'm like, my Lord, I'm not even there yet. So everything I'm preaching to you, friends, I'm walking it out myself. I understand what it's like to go through the threshing floor. It hurts. There's a breaking, the process of the threshing floor, the separation of the flesh and the spirit, the walk in the spirit. You got to die to the flesh. But friends, come on, the desire for his glory has got to outweigh the temporal desires of the flesh. Sin is fun for a season, but come on, glory is everlasting. It's generational. It changes and continues to transform in Jesus' name. So again, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Again, get used to this name, Remnant Revival Ministries. I know we're on ETH, but again, ETH is the information arm. Remnant Revival Ministries is the voice of this ministry. So if you've not yet followed us there on our Facebook, please go there. We don't have a Twitter page yet. I haven't created. I'm waiting on the logos, the banners. We're waiting on the website. The website's almost created. It's going to be called remnantrevival.org or remnantrevival.com. You'll be able to go there, and that's where you're going to find us. So please do that. If you would like to support this ministry, if you're blessed by the information arm, you're blessed by the ministry and the exhortation, the edification of this ministry through Remnant Revival Ministries. Listen, it's the same tree, but a different branch. However you're blessed by this ministry, you want to partner with us, you want to support us, you stand behind what we do, what our mission statement is. Guys, please feel free to be led by the Holy Ghost. Tap on that link under support the ministry, and please give as the Lord purposes on your and puts on your heart to do that as well. So again, a free newsletter. If you want to click under the link of the Facebook Live, you'll get a free newsletter. Now that newsletter right now is ETH. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to create a separate newsletter for Remnant Revival. I'm thinking I probably will, so that you can have again. Since they're two different functions, you'll get, you know, one for each of those. But for now, that's our ETH website. Again, our main website for End Time Headlines is endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And also, as Jessica pointed out here on their comments on her Facebook Live, listen, if you do not have a home church for whatever reason, maybe there's not one in driving distance to you, maybe there's no Spirit-filled churches and you're just not getting fit, whatever the case may be, if you'd like to be a part of an online community, an online church where you'll grow, you'll get prayed for, you can share your prayer requests. It's a family. We call ourselves a family. You can go to Community Church. You can type that in on Facebook. The link's under there on Facebook Live. You guys watching by YouTube, there's a link on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com as well. So there's many places, guys, that you can get involved. You can sow into and everything here on the ministry. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, we will be back on here, Lord willing, on Wednesday. And I wanted to say this, the prayer and fasting, a series, I believe, I felt like it was I feel like the Spirit of the Lord was lifting off of that. I think we've covered, I think we went like eight messages on that, seven or eight messages, and we've covered every base. So we're kind of moving in a different direction now. So on Wednesday, I've got a message lined up that I want to share with you that's going to be a very encouraging message. It's going to give you hope and encouragement. So don't miss that on Wednesday. So again, we appreciate you guys. We love you, and we'll see you then. God bless.